Live is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belvin.
Oh, yeah. Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, May 1st, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, or as they call it everywhere else but the United States, May Day. Happy May Day to all of our international listeners. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you could be here with us today. We got plenty of news, information, music, and more coming at you on today's Normal Show Live. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grass Story, Oregon, is our senior news editor, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Carrie. So today, I understand in the news, you've got all sorts of great international headlines for us, speaking of May Day.
Yeah, we do have some pretty good international stories and one not so great national story. But I'll get to those. The hemp headlines today, we're going to talk about two different stories from two different countries, both good news. And then we're going to go to Colorado and talk about those new drug driving laws that's back up again in the Senate, tell you what's happening there.
Yeah, it's like the curse that will not die, these per se DUID laws that keep coming back time and time again. We'll talk about that in our hemp headlines. Thanks, Carrie. Coming up also at 20 after the hour, we do our daily toker tunes, and today is Electric Tuesday. We're going to be getting some great kind of funky electronic music from a group called CI. The song is called Soul Hitman. Then at the bottom of the hour, 4:30, we are going to take a look back at the Patients Out of Time conference in Tucson, Arizona, and a presentation by Dr. John McPartland on the care and feeding of the endocannabinoid system. If you want to know why marijuana gets you high, it's all about the endocannabinoid system, but there's so much more that it has to do with in your body. There's so much the endocannabinoid system controls, and unlocking that may be the key to solving all sorts of health-related issues for Americans, well, for everyone, for all human beings. So John McPartland is going to give you basic primer on that information on the endocannabinoid system. Then at the end of the show, we'll have a little bit of time for a radical rant. I'm going to take a look at the state of New Hampshire and how its ongoing battle to try to pass medical marijuana proves my theory of the Box Canyon, how medical marijuana laws continue to get stricter and stricter and stricter, and that the true solution is for us to fight for legalization for everyone. All that's coming up on this first hour of Normal Show Live, and in hour two, we'll take you into Toker Talk Radio, where we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. You can catch Toker Talk Radio's full postings up at its blog at radicalrus.podbean.com. For more information here on this show, check out this Normal Stash blog at stash.normal.org, where we've hired a new intern. Swift Shauna will be joining us on the blog, posting Carrie's news stories from day to day. So check that out at stash.normal.org. We're right back with the news right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply
all the sacred smoke. Hey, this is John Popper. You're listening to The Normal Show Live.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or a flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
We've seen what the drug driving issue has done to the movement in Washington state. Colorado is now looking at a divisive proposal that would set marijuana blood standards for drivers in the state of Colorado. The Colorado State Senate rejected the idea last year as both sides argued over the science of determining impairment to cannabis through blood tests. The bill, Senate Bill 117, is similar to last year's, setting a 5 nanogram THC blood limit as a way to measure impairment as far as law enforcement goes. Activists argue that blood tests are faulty science at best. They are invasive, discriminatory, and inaccurate gauges of levels of impairment. Opponents of legalizing marijuana say that drug driving is a real threat and that they must have a measurable limit, and that science has shown that 5 nanograms shows recent consumption. The federal government has called for all states to adopt drug driving standards, and Colorado already has drug driving laws on their books that cover cannabis. 12 other states have laws creating a THC limit for driving, laws that are known as per se laws, and several other states have zero tolerance driving laws for THC. Well, the bill made some serious drama today in the Senate. First, it looked like it was killed on a voice vote, but the bill's sponsor, Senator Steve King, a Republican from Grand Junction, revived the bill for a recorded vote, and it narrowly passed 18-17. It will still need one more recorded vote in the Senate before it heads over to the House, where it will need another round of okays, and then if it gets that far, it will head to the governor's.
Yeah, this is the ongoing saga of the per se DUID bill. It was alive, it was dead, it was alive, it was dead. Now it's back on a slim vote here, and it's going to continue to go forward. And this is a situation that we've set ourselves up in because for so many years we've been saying, treat it like alcohol, treat it like alcohol, treat marijuana like alcohol. Well, alcohol has this little thing called a breathalyzer test that gives people this nice warm fuzzy feeling to think that they're doing something about keeping drunk drivers off the road. You know, we can argue about how scientific it is here or there, but it's really a question of an illusion here. The illusion of security, this illusion that we're safe from drunk drivers because we test their breath and their blood and their urine. And they want that same illusion of safety when it comes to marijuana. It's one of those things that, unfortunately, we've kind of made our bed and we have to lie in it here until we can educate these lawmakers and the public that they really have nothing to fear from cannabis-using drivers.
And a policy in the Netherlands that would ban forest tourists from buying marijuana went into effect in parts of the country today, May 1st. Most of the law enforcement and media focus has been on the town of Maastricht, a border town with Belgium, a country that has strict policies against marijuana. Some activists in the border town held a march in protest of the new policy, and about 200 people marched through the streets and chanted. Marijuana is not legal in the Netherlands, a popular misconception. It is technically illegal, but has been sold openly for decades in cafes around the country known as coffee shops that operate under the country's famed tolerance of soft drug policies to end street dealing and lower crime. But as of today, only citizens of the Netherlands who hold a weed pass, a card that you can get from your local government office, will be allowed to patronize many of the Dutch coffee shops. You must be a Dutch resident to get a weed pass, so the policy effectively bans tourists from entering and purchasing marijuana from the coffee shops. Now, who is getting this weed pass? Well, it's reported that Dutch cannabis consumers aren't getting the passes, assuming that the law will not be enforced. And some are worried that the information that they had obtained a weed pass will somehow leak from a government database and cause them difficulties with healthcare, insurance, or getting a mortgage. Mayors of some of the border towns have joined in the protest over the weed pass policy. Many tourists come into the towns only to be able to purchase and consume marijuana while they are there. Of course, the locals also understand that cannabis tourists also pay for hotels, food, and other entertainment when they are in town. The Dutch government, as well as the Belgian government, says that more than 1 million foreign tourists annually enter the city of Maastricht alone, causing daily traffic headaches just so they can purchase as much cannabis as they can, going from shop to shop, then drive back home to redistribute it. The coffee shops in Maastricht and other key border towns, Tilburg, Roermond, and Eindhoven, kept their doors closed today, a move that the mayor called rude, saying that they were disrupting city society by remaining closed. Now, there was one exception, a shop called Easy Going that stayed open long enough to garner a legal conflict today. Owner Mark Josman, who also is the chairman of the National Coffee Shop Owners Association, first turned away a group of foreigners who were there protesting the new rules. That group immediately went to the police station and filed discrimination complaints. Then Josman started selling cannabis to anyone who came in, not asking to see a weed pass. Now, the police were on hand to monitor the protest today, and they let that continue for about an hour and a half. Then they went into the shop and issued a warning that if he violated the new rule by not checking for passes, they would forcibly close his shop for a month. He continued to sell cannabis to anyone who came in, but he did close early and says he will be back tomorrow and fully expects them to follow through with their threat of closing his shop. He then plans on opening a suit in the European Court of Justice, saying that discrimination is never the answer to a societal problem. Many of the coffee shops say that they will just take a vacation and just wait for this to pass, a move that they now expect since the Dutch conservative national government collapsed last week under pressure from a growing budget deficit and an internal argument over budget priorities. Prime Minister Mark Rutte said his entire cabinet has resigned and they won't be seeking re-election in September. Some think that the struggling administration will not have the resources to continue to monitor the shops and that things will roll back to where they were before the current conservative government took power about 8 years ago.
Well, this is something that the coffee shop owners in, especially in Amsterdam, are not very fond of, this conservative government trying to set up these weed passes only for Dutch nationals. Again, the solution to the problem is not to restrict access in the Netherlands. It's to increase access in Germany, France, Belgium, and the rest of the EU. The fact is that people want their cannabis. They're going to try to get it any way they can. And if you set up these weed pass systems, all you're doing is creating a little middleman job for enterprising young Dutch people who might have their friends come in from another country, go into the coffee shops and get the weed as a Dutch citizen, and then give it to their friends or, of course, sell it to them for some sort of markup. All you are doing is creating more jobs for middlemen in the cannabis distribution industry that you've already kind of kept quasi-legal in the Netherlands for 30 years now. It's time for us to just grow up and recognize that people want their cannabis. They're going to continue to want their cannabis, and nothing we do about it is going to stop them from wanting to get it. It's time to open up our minds. It's time to spread the doctrine of legalization across all of Europe so we can solve these tourist driving problems and people that are, you know, going from coffee shop to coffee shop to coffee shop to get their 5 grams each and take it back to their home country. We don't need that. Just legalize it in your home country. Make it so people can have their own personal amounts here. The more you try to restrict this, the more unintended consequences you're going to unleash, including wrecking the Dutch economy, which apparently is taking down this conservative government anyway.
Item from Melbourne, Australia. The country's major sporting organization, the Coalition of Major Professional and Participation Sports, it's an entity that oversees cricket, soccer, Australian rules football, rugby, and tennis, has decided to remove cannabis from the long list of performance-enhancing drugs. Now, for over a decade now, marijuana has been on the list of performance-enhancing drugs that are banned from sports and could lead to sanctions of 2 years, the same as human growth hormone or anabolic steroids. The coalition chief, Malcolm Speed, says that from here on out, Australia... or here on out in Australia, marijuana will be treated as an illicit substance only, not a performance-enhancing substance, meaning that there still can be penalties for being caught with it in your system, but it's much, much less harmful. Speed also said that when he is at a meeting of the World Anti-Doping Agency this week, he will ask them about removing marijuana, saying that when a substance is on the banned list but isn't a performance-enhancing substance, it should be removed from the World Anti-Doping Agency list. Now, the World Anti-Doping Agency is an international independent agency that is funded by world sports events and governments to monitor the World Anti-Doping Code, an international document that has compiled anti-doping policies in all sports for all countries. They're headquartered in Montreal, Canada, but they are a private Swiss foundation whose mission is to make sure international athletes compete in a doping-free sporting environment. Now, their logo is an equal sign. Most countries use their guidelines to make drug and substance rules in their own sports organizations. According to their website, WADA is responsible for the science and medicine and scientific research of sports, along with maintaining that list of prohibited substances. They also use international laboratories, issue therapeutic use exemptions, and for international athletes, they help with the Athlete Passport Program, a program that helps world athletes get the documentation they need to compete in world events. Now, WADA does maintain different lists. Marijuana is on the list of substances banned during competition, but they also maintain a list of substances banned at all times, and cannabinoids are not on that particular list.
Yeah, well, first of all, I got to note that the guy who's in charge of checking out the doping status of athletes is named Speed.
I love that, too. And honestly, though, he looks like a Republican businessman. He's an older guy, businessman in Australia. But yeah, Malcolm Speed.
Yeah, that's as bad as having a drug and alcohol researcher named Early Wine. I mean, that's. But why will we have this on the performance enhancing substances list in the first place? Unless we're talking about the Nathan's hot dog eating contest or a jazz festival. I don't see that it's performance enhancing. But to go further, I agree with this guy to say it should just be taken off the anti-doping list for world athletics completely, regardless. I mean, why do we care if some of the finest athletes in the world are relaxing with the safest therapeutically active substance known to man, especially considering all the other drugs and painkillers that they're given by their doctors to try to treat their nagging injuries, aches, and pains? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And speaking of athletes and doping in the first place, I would like to see the doping Olympics. I actually want to see the sporting contests where the athletes are allowed to use any performance enhancing substance they want. You know what? They're adults. Let them do what they're going to do. I want to see some NFL lineman bench pressing 500 pounds. I want to see an 8-second 100-yard dash. I think that would be really entertaining, don't you? All right, Carrie, thanks for the news. And I got one more news update here for you from the Granite State of New Hampshire, where they are currently looking at a medical marijuana law. And they've been working on this for quite a long time, going back all the way to 2007. I'm going to bring up more about it in hour two in some radical rant. But I just wanted to give you the update on this bill that came through in 2011. It's Senate Bill 409. And it has passed the House there in New Hampshire with a veto-proof majority. But it has also passed the Senate, but it's three votes short of a veto-proof majority in the Senate. So the prognosis for medical marijuana this year in the state of New Hampshire is not looking good if they can't get it past the governor. We'll talk again more about that in the Radical Rant when we get to the end of the show. Also, want to give you updates on our schedule here on the Normal Network to let you know that this Friday we will not have a live show here at Rolla J Studios. I will be traveling to Dallas-Fort Worth for the Dallas Cinco de Mota, their version of the Global Marijuana March. You can check that out by Googling Global Marijuana March, and you'll find the page there. I think curesnotwars.org should have it as well. Hundreds of cities all over the United States and the world are participating in this Global Cannabis March. I am here in this seat right now as a paid normal employee because I went to a global cannabis march. We've met so many great activists at these marches, and this is where it really, you got to put your money where your mouth is and put your feet on the street. You know, you can post to Facebook, you can write letters to the editor, you can email your friends, you can write your blogs, you can tweet, you can do all that stuff. But until you're getting out of the house and onto the street, most people are not going to know that you stand for the end of marijuana prohibition. It's important for you to get out and show the world that you're not afraid to stand up for your rights, that you're willing to come out and march, you're willing to put your reputation and your name on the line to stand up for freedom. And believe me, the people that have come before us that have fought for other civil rights, when we talk about the civil rights marchers of the 60s, we talk about the gay rights marchers of the 70s, faced far, far more harsh circumstances for coming out and marching than we are going to face. We are generally safe going out to march, and check out your city at the Global Marijuana March on Google or curesnotwars.org to get involved. Check out your local Normal chapter at normal.org/chapters and make your voice heard this Saturday.
Hey, Russ, what do you think about a break?
Concha John!
Whoa!
I turned around and suddenly there are people in the room.
Hell yeah!
We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Yes, it's very impressive, but we'd just like to ask a few questions.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Down the computer.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you Tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everyone. If you're noticing the new lighting in the house here, in the studio, I replaced it all with the compact fluorescence. But then when I went to plug in the left side bank, it burnt out. So that's why I'm a little shadowy on one side. But in case you were wondering, that's the explanation. Always trying to fix things here at Roller J Studios. We have got some music for today. And once again, I'm going to the IOTA PromoNet to bring you this one. And I did want to make an announcement that the position now for Electric Tuesday music editor is open. So if you would like to be searching up the electronic, dance, pop, disco kind of music for us every disco. Tuesday, send me an email at stash@normal.org.
No disco.
No, disco's okay.
Let's put that precedent.
Disco's there, disco's electronic, spoken word.
Okay.
We could do beat poetry.
I'm going to go ahead
beat poetry.
Give my resignation.
Yeah, that's what's up. Growing.
So it's all available. Let me know at stash@normal.org if you're interested, and I'll tell you everything that needs to happen to be our Electric Tuesday music editor. But you get one from me for today. We are going to a group called CI, and it's got two of my favorite words, soul and funk. In it. It's Soul Hitman, the Funk Hunters remix, right here on Normal Show Live.
So your rock don't roll.
If it ain't got soul, so your rock don't roll.
If it ain't got soul, so your rock don't roll.
If it ain't got soul, so your rock don't roll.
In the motherland, Babylon a wicked, them a wicked man. Smile in your face, take bread from your hand. World Bank come up with a takeover plan, but you still can't conquer child children. Swing down two chariots and come again. He blew up the Babylon a wicked system. He blew up the Babylon a wicked system. Wicked system. I don't care where you went to school at. I don't care what job that you got. Put your skull in a bone. We know in a none of that. We know John in a race. We know in a rat back. There was in the detail, the horns in the hat. Anything what you son, I must say Babylon tax. Tax from the sound and the tax from the track. Toes to your knees, I must say head to your back. Man, say head to your back.
Could you please tell me, what's your definition of soul?
My definition of soul is simple. I think soul is the essence of the human condition.
If it ain't got soul, so your rock don't roll. If it ain't got soul, so your rock don't roll. If it ain't got soul, so your rock don't roll. If it ain't got soul, so your rock don't roll. So your rock don't roll.
If it ain't got soul, so your rock don't roll.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times enhanced quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores. Tune in to the Normal Network every weekday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern for our primetime lineup. We begin with an hour of daily Toker Tunes, followed by Normal Show Live and Toker Talk Radio, live from Rolla J Studios in Portland, Oregon. Then, you get 2 hours of recorded podcasts from national and international reformers, followed by our late-night live shows at 11 p.m. Eastern. Then the whole six-hour block repeats twice overnight. It's the Normal Network, your source for the best in marijuana media. Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, welcome back, folks. I just got back from Tucson, the Patients Out of Time conference. This next presentation by John McPartland is going to tell you all about the endocannabinoid system. Check it out.
Stretch and breathe, because I actually talk faster than Vincenzo. I'd like to thank Al and Mary Lynn for inviting me to speak here today. And, oh, louder, okay, and follow. Okay, I'd like to thank Patients Out of Time for inviting me to speak here today and follow in the footsteps of Vincenzo DiMarzo. I've been following in Vincenzo's footsteps for 15 years now. I'm not bitter, Vincenzo. I just know I'm getting older. You're getting older too. Okay. I'd like to preface my talk with a reiteration of some of the things that Vincenzo told us. Let's see, where's that? There it is. And I'd like to show an example of the endocannabinoid system in action on a molecular level. And this example is a pain nerve where it synapses in the dorsal horn of the spinal cord. Andrea will be telling us lots more about this after break. And in this example, when a pain nerve message reaches the synapse, it releases glutamate, and the glutamate diffuses across the synapse to the postsynaptic cell, and it activates the receptors on the postsynaptic cell, which starts another message up to the brain. How do you work this? There we go. So with salvos of pain or long-standing pain, we see a lot more glutamate release, and we see an upregulation of receptors in the postsynaptic cell. And if this continues, we see an influx of calcium into the postsynaptic cell. And this is wind up, this is on its way to chronic pain. Now, in a fully functional endocannabinoid system, the influx of calcium into the postsynaptic cell causes the synthesis and release of the endocannabinoids, in this case 2-AG, and they diffuse retrograde, the other direction, across the synapse to the presynaptic cell to CB1, which stops the glutamate release and chills everything out. Now, how can we increase endocannabinoid signaling? Well, on a molecular level, there's three ways. Option one is to augment the endocannabinoid synthesis. Option two is to decrease endocannabinoid degradation. And number three is to boost receptor density and or receptor function. I'd like to issue a caveat on these first two options. And that is producing a chronic, continual, high-level rise in endocannabinoids may be counterproductive because faced with constant activation by endocannabinoids, the receptor may downregulate and desensitize. What do I mean by those words? Well, hopefully this next schematic drawing will illustrate that. Here's a cannabinoid receptor embedded in a cell membrane. And when the endocannabinoid binds to the receptor, activates it, and it sends a signal across the cell membrane to the intracellular G protein, which actually does the work. So downregulation is when the receptor doesn't bind or activate the endocannabinoid. And it can be as simple as because the receptor's not there anymore because it's involuted away from the cell wall. Desensitization is when the endocannabinoid-stimulated receptor drives less signal to the G protein. So essentially, the endocannabinoid is less potent, and this is tolerance. And we know that this also happens with THC. People take a lot of THC, and they get downregulation and desensitization. So I'm going to be returning to this concept a few times through this talk. Okay, so this is really where my talk begins. Why should we modulate the endocannabinoid system? Well, Ethan proposed that migraine, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, and related conditions represent a clinical endocannabinoid deficiency syndrome. And Matthew Hill hypothesized that a deficient endocannabinoid signaling could be involved in depressive illnesses. And enhancing the endocannabinoid system may reduce symptoms caused by multiple sclerosis, chronic pain, epilepsy, and many other diseases as we know. Notice that I use that word modulate. And that's because, as Vincenzo has told us, there can be pathological overactivation of the endocannabinoid system, which exacerbates other diseases such as visceral obesity and cirrhosis. So in these diseases, downregulating the endocannabinoid system would be beneficial. But that's not what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about methods to augment the endocannabinoid system. And I've lumped them into two major categories: complementary and alternative medicine, and down at the bottom, standard pharmaceutical drugs. Donald Abrams is a world leader in CAM, and I hope he doesn't argue with my the way I've lumped CAM into three major groups here. I've also included lifestyle modification. And that's because without a doubt, the best way to augment our endocannabinoid system is just by healthy living. And that begins with aerobic exercise. Human studies have shown that running, biking, and hiking increase anandamide levels in the blood. And in fact, researchers are now proposing that a runner's high is not actually from endorphins, but it's from endocannabinoids. But there's nuances. Rodent studies have showed that running and swimming increase anandamide levels, but the expression level of CB1, the receptor, may increase and decrease. Now, in rodents that are lashed to the wheel and forced to exercise, have such a surge in endocannabinoids, it causes a downregulation in receptors. Whereas rodents that are offered a wheel and jump on it voluntarily, they have increased levels of anandamide and they have increased levels of the receptors. So here's a trickier one. Diet. Overeating leads to obesity, and the fat cells produce excessive amounts of endocannabinoids. The endocannabinoids spill over into the blood, cross the blood-brain barrier, activate CB1 in the brain, cause munchies. It's a feed-forward dysregulation of the endocannabinoid system. So is this where we get the picture of the happy fat man? Well, not for very long, because as we saturate our system with endocannabinoids, we start to see a downregulation of receptors. Caloric restriction, dieting and fasting, at least initially, actually can exacerbate the situation because they lead to reduced endocannabinoid systems in the blood and downregulated expression of CB1 in the brain. Although there are some studies that report conflicting results and we need more research, a downregulated endocannabinoid system seems to fit the clinical picture in people who are dieting. However, there's hope. A recent study by you and colleagues regarding overweight or obese women showed that dieting did indeed cause a decrease in CB1 expression, but combining dieting with aerobic exercise caused a net increase in CB1 expression. Polyunsaturated fatty, you know, most of us know, most of Americans consume too many omega-6s and not enough omega-3s, and that actually impacts on the endocannabinoid system too. Arachidonic acid is our poster child for omega-6s, and its metabolites can be nasty. Prostaglandins can cause inflammation and pain. Leukotrienes can cause bronchoconstriction and asthma. However, arachidonic acid is the feedstock for anandamide and 2-AG, and studies have shown that dietary supplementation with arachidonic acid increases serum levels of anandamide and 2-AG. This is another double-edged sword. A little bit of omega-6 arachidonic acid is definitely needed for the biosynthesis of anandamide and 2-AG, but in mice that are given huge amounts of arachidonic acid, they end up down-regulating the receptors. Omega-3s, EPA and DHA, are very important. Mice given omega-3s express greater levels of CB1 and CB2 than mice on a control diet, and they express greater levels of endocannabinoid synthesis enzymes. Mice fed an omega-3 deficient diet lose their endocannabinoid-mediated neurological function, and they actually behave like CB1 knockout mice, whereas omega-3-rich mice react strongly to synthetic cannabinoids. So this is an interesting concept. They didn't actually test THC, but I suspect that these the bottom line there, the omega-3-rich mice probably also react stronger to THC. Lactobacillus probiotics, we find them in fermented foods. We didn't find them out at breakfast this morning, but that's okay. I went and bought some. Human intestinal cells exposed to Lactobacillus acidophilus increase their expression of CB2 gene products, and mice fed Lactobacillus show less pain behavior following colonic distension than control mice. Colonic distension is a rat model for IBS, for irritable bowel syndrome, and that this was reversed by giving them a CB2 antagonist drug. CB2 antagonists occur in several plants besides cannabis. They selectively bind to CB2 and modulate the immune system. They don't have any affinity for CB1, so they don't elicit any psychoactivity. Echinacea species, the alkimids, I'm not too sure how to pronounce that. Alkimids directly bind to CB2 and they inhibit anandamide breakdown. And beta-caryophyllene, that's in black pepper and in cannabis, binds to CB2, and its anti-inflammatory effects are reduced in CB2 knockout mice. So here's the big question. What is the impact of cannabis on the endocannabinoid system? Well, THC binds to CB1 and CB2 and activates the receptors with strong efficacy. Now, any drug with strong efficacy given chronically at high doses will desensitize and downregulate the target receptor. But THC is a partial agonist, so it causes less downregulation of CB1 and CB2 than a full agonist, although the research is still sorting out there. I hope this graph here shows an example of a full agonist. 2-AG, you can see on the graph, if you draw the line over, it produces a 100% maximal response in this in vitro assay, whereas THC and anandamide are down here below 50%. So they're partial agonists. A lot of us are familiar with spice, which contains synthetic endocannabinoids such as HU210. And if you look back at that graph, HU210 is a super agonist. So it produces a greater than maximum response than endogenous agonists. And it causes a much faster tolerance, and it's probably worth staying away from. THC is more than just a mimic of anandamide and 2-AG receptors. It, at least acutely administered THC, increases CB1 density in rodent brains, and that's been shown in several studies. And the acute administration of THC stimulates anandamide synthesis, so it kickstarts our endocannabinoid system. And of course, cannabis is more than THC. Adding cannabidiol to THC enhances the expression of CB1 in rat brains. CBD decreases tolerance to THC in rodents and humans in many studies. And CBD stimulates the release of 2-AG, and CBD inhibits the breakdown of anandamide by FAAH. So once again, here's CBD kickstarting our endocannabinoid system. Okay, moving on to impacts of legal drugs. Chronic ethanol exposure in rodents usually causes a downregulation of CB1 expression. Chronic nicotine exposure in rodents increases CB1 expression in the brain and also sensitizes rats and humans to the effects of THC. I don't know if I'd necessarily recommend this as a way of kick-starting your endocannabinoid system, but there you have it. Chronic caffeine exposure potentiates CB1-dependent stimulation by THC and synthetic cannabinoids in mice. And I'm not too sure if that's pharmacokinetic or pharmacodynamic. And it's also chronic consumption in it. Mind-body medicine, stress reduction. Matthew Hugh will be talking. He'll be talking a lot more about this. Chronic stress downregulates CB1 expression and reduces the levels of CB1 ligands in rat brains. Stress reduction probably reverses the effects of stress on CB1 signaling, although no studies have been done. Anecdotal information suggests that relaxation techniques, meditation, yoga, and deep breathing exercises may impart some mild cannabimimetic effects, and Andrew Weil's been talking about this for 2 decades now. Acupuncture is a good thing. Acupuncture, at least electroacupuncture in the studies, increases anandamide levels in the skin and around the needle, and the pain-reducing effects of electroacupuncture are attenuated by CB2 antagonists. Electroacupuncture upregulates the expression of CB2 in the skin, and last but not least, electroacupuncture also works through CB1 in the spinal cord. Osteopathic manipulative medicine, I got to put in a plug, I'm an osteopath. We use massage, myofascial release, and spinal manipulation, and a single treatment increased serum anandamide levels by 168 over pre-treatment levels in our study. In another OMT study, anandamide didn't change significantly, but serum levels of PEA increased. OMT may also improve CB1 function in nerve fibers. So here's a schematic drawing of a C-fiber nociceptor. It originates in the dorsal horn. Its cell body is in the dorsal root ganglion, and then the nociceptor comes down. This is an enlarged view of its distal terminal, which is found in skin, muscles, joints, and other tissues. And the distal terminal contains receptors that activate pain signals or sensitize the nerve to pain. But the distal terminal also contains CB1 receptors, which dampen the effects of those sensitizers and activators. CB1 receptors are synthesized up here in the dorsal root ganglion, and then they're carried by exoplasmic flow to the distal terminal where they do their job. If you've not heard of exoplasmic flow, it's a fluid flow. It's a protoplasmic flow, and it enables CB1 to get to where it needs to be. Andrea Holman did a nice little study that showed that mechanical barriers that restrict exoplasmic flow prevent CB1 receptors from reaching the distal terminal and therefore not function properly. And this photomicrograph down here in the corner shows where she put a suture loop around the sciatic nerve. And you can see the receptors all kind of damming up on the proximal end, and they're not getting to where they need to go. So this suture loop is analogous to carpal tunnel syndrome and thoracic outlet syndrome and piriformis syndrome and all the other things that body workers eliminate with their body work. Moving to medications, Tylenol is broken down in the liver into two parts, and one of them is this para-aminophenol, which then is conjugated in the central nervous system to arachidonic acid, to this molecule that I can't pronounce. And that molecule that I can't pronounce activates CB1, and it inhibits anandamide reuptake and breakdown. So I don't know why we don't get high from Tylenol. Anybody? No. Anyway, Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as ibuprofen inhibit the COX-2 enzyme, which breaks down 2-AG, so NSAIDs may prolong 2-AG activity. NSAIDs also inhibit FAAH and therefore enhance anandamide activity. Ibuprofen, combined with anandamide, given exogenously, produces synergistic pain relief involving both CB1 and CB2. And the physicians out there probably have numerous patients who describe cannabimimetic effects from NSAIDs, and we just kind of scratch our head on that, but there's probably a molecular basis to that. Glucocorticoids such as cortisone and prednisone shift membrane lipid metabolism towards the production of anandamide and 2-AG. And this may explain why high acute doses of prednisone cause what they call steroid mania. People get really happy. Glucocorticoids modulate CB1 expression and regulate endocannabinoid-controlled emotional learning. Matthew's going to talk more about that today, I'll bet. And now I'm shifting to diazepam, Valium, synergistically increases the anxiolytic effects of endocannabinoids in mice. So those drug compounds are interrelated with the endocannabinoid system. Opiates are complicated. There's an extensive crosstalk, that links the endocannabinoid system and the endorphin system, and the acute co-administration of cannabinoids and opiates provides synergistic analgesia. Chronic exposure is kind of a mixed picture. Chronic morphine or heroin causes CB1 receptors to upregulate or downregulate in different parts of the brain, and there's a lot more research that needs to be done there. Psychopharmacology, tricyclic antidepressants such as Elavel increase the expression of CB1, and perhaps that's why we find them useful sometimes in fibromyalgia. SSRIs such as Prozac may or may not increase the expression of CB1, and Matthew hopefully will help sort that one out. Antipsychotic medications such as Haldol and Risperidone upregulate the expression of CB1. However, other antipsychotics such as clozapine decrease CB1. So it's kind of complicated. Summary. There are many ways that we can upregulate the endocannabinoid system. Knowledge regarding upregulation of the endocannabinoid system has increased dramatically in recent years, and many discoveries await us. Upregulating the endocannabinoid system in deficient individuals will likely enhance the effects of cannabis, and this permits us to achieve the same results with less drug, and which is always a good thing. Thank you. And it's break time.
It's Dr. John McPartland out there at the Patients Out of Time Conference in Tucson, Arizona. All of the videos are available up at the NormalNet YouTube page, youtube.com/NormalNet. When we come back, it's time for Todd's Toker Topics to take us out of the day. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live.
I just said
the voice of the marijuana nation.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD.
Here at Normal Show Live, we spend all week taking a look at the tragedy of American marijuana prohibition. But it's important to take a break and remember that we are a vibrant, diverse, and oftentimes hilarious community of people. So our friend, comedian Todd Armstrong, joins us to poke fun at one of Todd's Toker Topics.
All right, Todd is in the house. How are you doing, Todd? Good to see you here.
Good. Nervous, but good.
All right. Oh, The audience loves you.
Yes.
So what is your topic for today, sir?
Empathy.
Oh.
I know.
Let's get to it.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you for putting yourself in my position to understand my chance to express to you my viewpoint on empathy.
And that is so kind of you to have noticed my empathetic response to that.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
We were discussing this between break. And John, I love this individual. He's on the internet talking with people and causing small flame wars, as we call them, in the Portland inbred comedy community. But I really enjoy John's viewpoint on people having their heart in the right place, but unfortunately their head being buried up their ass. Now, I think that's the problem with America today, that we've redefined empathy from putting me in your position to, I wouldn't have done that. That's the modern definition of empathy to me. And so that's the reason I have to change Goob the Knob. It's officially dead because people don't understand my position. Yes, I'm sorry. To shock the audience. People don't get that my side, it's a clever joke. It's a clever play. And as a comedian, I can no longer do this. So I have to transfer everything over to Arm Todd Strong now because of a lack of empathy on what my viewpoint is. A clever play on my mom calling me a goob and a knob as a child. And then also very many double entendre sounding such the same. Now, the problem I'm having with the lack of empathy in this world, I'm going to condense down to my Aunt Lisa. Now, I'm going to call her out specifically. I'm not saying which Aunt Lisa it is, but this is an individual who used to love the cannabis and then fell off of it. Wow. And now is a type of person that is completely lacking all forms of empathy. Now, I think we should start prescribing medical cannabis for empathy deficiency syndrome. Because when someone has such a cold heart, or perhaps road rage like myself, or perhaps assholism like other people in the room that get cured with the medical cannabis, we were at my grandfather's funeral. This is my grandpa Cletus. Now, he passed away about a year and a half ago, and I was required by the family to wear overalls to the funeral. my father was nice enough to go pick me up a pair of Dickies between things. So my brother, my father, and both of my nephews were overalls to the funeral. Sitting there uncomfortable in the funeral waiting to go up and do my teary-eyed pronouncement upon my awesome grandfather that took me everything from having me eat cow brains and eggs all the way to showing me how to have hound dogs swim across water at raccoons. So he taught me many things in life. And as my aunt is over my shoulder, she says, "Todd, I heard you were doing comedy." I was like, "Yeah. You know you're not going to go anywhere with that, right?" Now, I was empathetic enough to put myself in the position of the 200 people in the room and not scream, "Hey, bitch, this is the wrong time and place to address this issue." But I had the empathy enough to not do that because of the gift of cannabis. Because genuinely, I feel that the man upstairs, the powers that be, don't like that viewpoint. I think alcohol and intoxicants, which they are, they literally numb you to the world. And I think marijuana is not an intoxicant. It actually changes the way your neurotransmitters work. And I think for a moment gives you the ability to have empathy. So that's the best thing I want to focus on, that is empathy, is people should just chill out, relax, and understand that even in this community where we all have the initial goal and drive to take away the restrictions and prohibitions on a simple plant, a lot of us do the wrong things, but let's just calm down, take a breath, and try to put each other in each other's shoes. And let's just have a couple hugs. And at the end of the day, we all have a bit too much BO, and we all smell a little bit like hash, but we love each other. I'll see you guys next Tuesday. And come to Ridgefield, everybody, if you want to. A great DVD will be filmed with handsome Ganja John announcing my sexy ass on stage.
He's the hype man.
He is. He's my hype
fantastic.
Man.
Yeah. So what's happening this again? Tell us.
Saturday night, I will be recording my DVD, my big, this is literally my biggest
thing
I've
ever
done in my life other than, like, marry my wife on the beach. Like, that, literally, this is 2 years of my life put together in about an hour of comedy with one of my best friends of comedy, Lonnie Bruin, opening the show. I got an article in the Columbian.com online from the local newspaper, a write-up about it, so it's looking like it's already going to be sold out. So
that's awesome. So Arm Todd Strong on Facebook and Twitter.
And Twitter and YouTube.
And ArmTodStrong.com.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you got the website now.
Yeah, fabulous. Dustin, Calico's buddy, is getting that all in place, and he's shooting the DVD on Saturday, so we'll be able to purchase an hour DVD from me on iTunes here in the next 6 weeks. So
well, how cool is that?
The show joke and actually get to see a lot of me running my mouth. So
fantastic. Well, that's awesome news. Glad to hear it. And we look forward to getting that DVD out. And
Thank you so much,
folks, that's all the time we got for today on Normal Show Live. Thanks for joining us here. And stay tuned for hour two. We've got a radical rant on New Hampshire. A look at some more videos. And
Ganja John's got a bitch.
And Ganja John's got something on his mind. So we'll be right back after this. For those of you listening on the podcast, thanks for being here for hour one. And for Wiz Calico, Brian the Red, Todd Armstrong, Ganja John, and Cannabis Carrie, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
You're listening to the Normal Network, where the time is 4:20, 24/7, 365.
It's 5 o'clock in the Pacific time zone. The workday is done. Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I am here.
Or you can talk.